Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
How many of you think Michaela did such an amazing job leading us from the platform here this morning? Wow, that was amazing for the first time, Michaela. She is single and serving. So if any of you know any fine young men, they have to go through me first though. But amazing job, Michaela. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. You are tossing and turning. You bury your head with your pillow. But whatever you do, you can't seem to be able to fall asleep. Everybody around you has already been asleep for a long time, including your dog. He's snoring in the corner. But no matter what you do, you just can't fall asleep. Your head is tense. Your chest is pounding really fast. You could be anybody. You are 24 years old, freshly graduated from university and freshly out of job. You are 34 years old with 2 kids to take care and a sick husband at home. You are 44 years old who's just been told by your doctor that you have cancer. You are 54 years old, too old to be looking for a new job, but you gotta because your company has just downsized and you've just been let go. You are 64 years old. You should be close to retirement by now, but there's no way in the world you can retire for the next 10, 15 years because you are in so much debt. It seems like you're gonna be working until you die. So an hour passes by, another hour. It's 4 o'clock in the morning now. Now you are getting really restless. Anxiety is starting to get the better of you. You feel like you're drowning. You find it hard to breathe. Anxiety can come to anybody like a tidal wave. So what does that mean? What does it mean when you are worried? What does it mean when you are anxious? What does it mean when you are restless? What does it mean when you are insecure? What does it all mean? Well, it means one thing. It means that you are human. It means you are normal because it is human to be anxious. I don't know if you know, but an organization called Beyond Blue gives us this really sobering statistics. Anxiety is the most common mental health condition in Australia. On average, 1 in 4 people, that is 1 in 3 women and 1 in 5 men will experience anxiety at some stage in their life. And I want to tell you this morning, and I want you to listen to me well. If you are battling with anxiety, it doesn't mean you're stupid. It doesn't mean you are immature. And it doesn't mean you're a bad Christian, okay? Because Christians do battle anxiety from time to time. Even Jesus himself battled with anxiety at the Garden of Gethsemane. As he was praying so ferociously, the capillaries in his body broke, burst, and his face was covered, drenched in blood. But Jesus did not give in to his anxiety. He turned over his anxiety to his Father, God, and then Jesus carried on his mission. Anxiety did not win. Jesus won. And I'm here to tell you this morning that that's God's desire for your life as well and for my life. God doesn't want your life to be characterized by anxiety. Yes, life is filled with anxiety, but God doesn't want your life to be controlled by anxiety. God wants your life to be characterized by peace instead of panic, by calm instead of chaos. That's God's desire for your life. And I want to encourage you for the next 4 weeks as we do this together, I want you to keep coming. I want you to keep inviting your friends to come because this issue is relevant for everybody. Let me tell you that. We, at a point somewhere in the spectrum of anxiety, in fact, as a society, we are more anxious than ever before. I want to give you a resource before I continue. This is an amazing resource. It's a book by Max Lucado. I have all of his books, by the way, if you want to read good stuff, if you never heard of him before. Buy any of his books, they're all good. But his book called Anxious for Nothing is amazing, Okay? And we base this series based on this book, and it's just truly, truly amazing. It has blessed me so much as I was reading it and preparing for this series. He also wrote a book for kids who battle anxiety called I'm Not a Scaredy Cat. It's a great book as well. And if you think that kids don't battle anxiety, listen to this. A psychologist, American psychologist by the name of Robert Leahy, says the average child today exhibits the same level of anxiety as the average psychiatric patient of the 1950s. Can you imagine that? We're talking about the average child. That could be your child. That could be my child. Suffering from the same level of anxiety as the average psychiatric patient of the 1950s. Can you imagine that? So no one is exempt from anxiety. If you're a teenager, let me tell you, right now, our teenagers with social media and whatnot, you know, they're suffering from anxiety as well. So what do we do? I don't want to pretend that one sermon or one sermon series or one book can change your whole life and, you know, can deliver you straight from anxiety. But I want to tell you this, though, and I promise you this, that it is God's desire for you to be free from anxiety. It is God's desire for you to live the life of peace. That's God's desire for you. And I believe nothing is impossible with God. There is freedom waiting for you. You've been battling anxiety for all your life. I wanna tell you, there is a breakthrough. There is freedom. You just gotta believe God for it. And like I said, be open to what God is trying to say to you in the next few weeks. We're going to look at a passage from our New Testament written by the Apostle Paul, who used to be an enemy of Christianity. He wrote this letter to a group of Christians in Philippi, now in modern-day Greece. And when Paul wrote this letter, and in a moment we're going to read it, if you never read this before, you would think that Paul had written it from a palace. You would think that Paul had written it from a place of opulence, a place of plenty, and you think that he had a lot of money and had no problems in his life. But no, when he wrote this letter that we're about to read, he was chained in Rome. He was literally chained 24/7 to a prison guard in Rome. He had no money, and he was facing a death sentence. And true enough, a bit later on, he was actually sentenced to death through beheading by the Roman Empire. And this is what he wrote. For those of you who've been battling with anxiety, open your hearts and listen to what God is trying to say to you. Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Now, the key verse in this section is found in verse 6 when Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything." Some translations say, be anxious for nothing. That's the name of our series, anxious for nothing. In the Greek, it's even shorter. It's only two words, no anxious in the Greek. It's a command, it's an imperative, no anxious. Now, when I read this, I thought to myself the first time, like, who can keep this commandment? This is a commandment. It's an imperative, right? Who can carry it out, you know? I wish Paul had given us a bit of an out. Okay, you can be anxious on Mondays and Thursdays, or you can be anxious when you have tough days. You can be anxious over those days. But no, Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. Not at any time. I don't want you to be anxious. Is it a possible commandment for us, followers of Jesus Christ, to keep? Is it realistic? On second look, as I was preparing for this, the actual verb in the Greek is actually present active imperative. What it means simply is this. Paul is saying, do not let yourself to be trapped in the perpetual state of anxiety. It's a habitual thing. You know, do not let yourself to be caught in a perpetual state of anxiety. Don't do that, the Apostle Paul said. Max Lucado puts it this way, and this is beautiful. He puts it much better than me. He says, the presence of anxiety is unavoidable, but the presence of anxiety is optional. Isn't that good? I mean, anxiety is a part of life, but whether or not you want to be imprisoned by anxiety is totally up to you, is optional. And the amazing thing about this section is this. Not only did Paul tell us what to do, don't be anxious, but he actually told us how to do it. Isn't that amazing? This is the prescription that Paul gives how to deal with anxiety in our lives. The first step is celebrate God's goodness. That's the first step. The second step is ask God for help. And then the third step is leave your concerns with God. And then finally, the last step is meditate on good things. And if you pay attention to the first letter at the beginning of each sentence, it spells the word calm. So that's easy for us to remember. I know sometimes we hear sermons and they're good, but it's difficult for us to remember. I hope this acronym will become a tool for you to remember. As soon as you face anxiety, remember to celebrate God's goodness, to ask God for help, to leave your concerns with God, and to meditate on good things. Let's take a look at all of this one by one very quickly. The first one is celebrate God's goodness. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Paul is usually very strict with the use of his words. He's usually very precise. He doesn't like to repeat stuff. But in this instance, Paul says, this is important. I want them to know this. I want them to do this. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. The Rocks, rejoice in the Lord always. The Rocks, listen, rejoice. Now, I understand when Paul wrote this, he imagined people could be in the same situation as him. People could be battling anxiety. Notice Paul did not say, rejoice in your situation. Because your situation may have, you know, maybe so bad, there's no way you can rejoice in your situation, right? It's impossible. But Paul did not ask us to rejoice in our situation. He asked you and me to rejoice over our situation. And instead of focusing on our problems, Paul says, no, I want you to focus your attention in God. I want you to focus your attention in the Lord. So as soon as anxiety attacks, I want you to lift up your eyes and look to God. Okay? This is what the psalmist says. It's written by David, one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 121. People say it's the psalm of battle. And David says this in Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. It's a choice for David. I decide to do this. I will lift up my eyes to the mountain. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You have a choice whether to focus on your problem or to focus on the maker of heaven and earth. Remember the story of Peter? I think it was could be my phone there. Might wanna. I think God is trying to call me and tell me something. Okay. I'll talk to you later, God. Okay. Where was I? Oh yeah, Peter, the disciple. Do you remember? Peter the disciple, one time he was in a boat and there was a huge storm and they were so scared and they saw Jesus walking on water. And Peter asked Jesus, hey, can I walk on water too? And Jesus said, come out. And as Peter was coming out of the boat, he actually found himself walking on water with Jesus. But then he started to focus his attention away from Jesus. He started to focus his attention to the wind and the wave. And guess what happened next? He started drowning. That's what happens. When you focus your attention on your problem and instead of focusing your attention on God, your problem will get bigger and bigger and can overtake your life. But if you focus your attention on God, ask yourself, and Max Lucado again puts it so beautifully, for you to remember the goodness of God in your life. Ask yourself this series of questions. For example, has God ever faced this problem before? Not just in your life, but in the world. You know, is your problem unique to you? Is it a common problem for the rest of the world? Has God ever faced this problem before? Has God got you through things similar to this before? Does God have a good track record in your life? Has he proven himself strong? Is God sovereign over your life? Is God still the one on the throne? You know, these questions are important for you to remember that God, at the end of the day, is still in control. That God is still sovereign. I mean, you're not God. I'm not God. And that's what happens. When someone who is not God, like me, like you, trying to act like we are, you know, like we are sovereign, of course you'll be filled with anxiety because there are a lot of things in life that you can't control. You can't even control the weather, right? It's totally outside of our control. And if you worry over stuff that you can't control, you're gonna be filled with anxiety. So the first step, if you want to be free from anxiety, is to celebrate the goodness of God in your life. If you're not a Christian, get to know this God. This God is a good God. He's not an angry God like maybe a lot of people believe, okay? So that's the first step. The second step is ask God for help. See, the problem with anxiety is you're so focused on your problem, you don't even realize God exists anymore. But if you start right, the first step, celebrate the goodness of God, now that your focus is on God, you can do the second step. Ask Him for help. Ask Him for help, okay? Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. The idea in the Greek word request is itemized requests, one by one. Present them to God, every single one. It doesn't matter how big, it doesn't matter how small. When Jesus was asked by His disciples how to pray, Jesus said something amazing in the middle of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, I'm trying to remember now. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, which is all amazing, right? But in the middle of that prayer, Jesus taught them something that a lot of rabbis in those days usually don't teach. Jesus said, give us this day, what? Our daily bread, something small, something simple. Seriously, Jesus? We can ask God? Isn't He busy to worry about our daily bread? Don't you ask God for big stuff like your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? That's amazing stuff. I mean, we ask that. That's, we can understand. But will God be bothered with our daily bread? Which is amazing to me because 80% of the people who lived during Jesus' time, they were all unemployed and poor. And they don't even ask for daily bread. And Jesus said, no, I want you to ask for daily bread. Because if it's important to you, it's important to God. Nothing is too small for God to be concerned about in your life, whatever that may be. Present every itemized request before God. Ask God for His help. So when fear strikes, all right, you have two options. You can either be filled with anxiety or you can choose to pray. You have an option. And I want to encourage you, like Paul encouraged us, instead of curling up into like a little ball, being anxious, Paul says, no, I want you to present your requests before God. Celebrate His goodness. Ask God to help you, right? And then number three, the third step is leave your concerns with God. Leave your concerns with God. Notice what Paul says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, present your request before God with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. What do you thank God for? You know, when you are in a tough spot, when you're in a tough situation, how can you give thanks to God? Well, this is the reason why you need to give thanks to God, because God knows best. Right? God knows best. Be thankful that God knows what you need the most, what's best for you. And God is always working behind the scene to accomplish things for our good. Romans 8:28. So that's why you need to be thankful to God. Instead of, again, focusing on your problem, you need to focus on God and His ability to protect you, His ability to provide for your needs. God knows what's best. Once you present your request before God, don't touch it anymore. Leave your concerns with God. How many of you have ever taken broken things to be repaired? You've taken your broken computer to the shop to be repaired. What do you do? I did that last month. I got an accident, a tiny little fender bender accident. I was tired, I was not concentrating, so I was a bit of, I don't know, I mean, I was daydreaming or something, but I was in a daze, and I got into a minor fender bender, and I had to bring my car to the shop. This is my car. And mechanically, the car is fine. It just looks worse than it actually is. It's only the bumper and the bonnet, but the rest of the engine is actually fine. So last month, I brought my car to my mechanic together with my sleeping bag. And when I got to the shop, I put my car there, and then I rolled down my sleeping bag on the floor, and I said, I'm going to sleep here to make sure, in case you have any question, make sure you do a good job, right? That's what you do when you bring broken stuff to be repaired, correct? No, you don't do that, right? Once you bring something to the shop to be fixed, you usually trust the shop that they're going to do a good job. You're not going to worry about it anymore. That's why you pay the guy to fix your stuff for you. Do you understand? Once you present your request to God, why do you have to worry about it anymore? You have to leave your concerns with God because God knows what He's doing. You don't have to teach Him. You don't have to tell Him what to do. Sometimes I feel like Christians, we prescribe God, like, God, I want you to do this, this, this. It's like, man, maybe God will give you something better. Maybe God wants to take a different way to accomplish His purpose in your life. You don't even know it, and yet you prescribe to God because you're so anxious about everything. Present your request before God and leave your concerns to God. And then finally, meditate on good things. Meditate on good things. Don't focus on your problems anymore. Listen to what Paul says. Finally, my brothers and sisters, finally, whatever is good, okay? Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what do? Think about such things. You can either, again, focus on your problem, or you can focus on all the good stuff that are still happening in your life. Usually, when people are battling anxiety, they think like every part of their life is bad. All you need to do, sometimes I do this, I ask people, hey, why don't you list 10 things that are good right now in your life? Give me 10 things that are good in your life right now. And they start listing one by one things that are good in their life. Guess what's going to happen? Usually their face started to change, and like usually there's life. And because sometimes anxiety can give you the appearance that everything in your life is bad. But instead of that, meditate on the good things. And again, the problem in your life will start to get smaller and smaller and smaller. Be grateful for all the good things in your life. This is what Max Lucado says, and I think this is so true. Anxiety and gratitude cannot share the same heart. Anxiety and gratitude cannot share the same heart. One of them is going to go. When you are not grateful, your heart will be filled more and more with anxiety. But when you are grateful, anxiety will start to leave you sooner or later. So, again, to recap, the prescription from Paul is very simple. Don't focus on your problem. Celebrate God and His goodness. Ask Him to help you. Present your requests before Him. And then leave it to Him. Leave your concerns to Him. And then finally, meditate on all the good things that happen in your life. Next week when we come back, we're going to talk about the power of praise over anxiety. You know, when you sing songs to God, when you sing praises to God, usually you do all of these four things. You celebrate His goodness in your life. You know, it reminds you that God is the one who is in control and you are not. He's the sovereign one and we are not. And then we're reminded of all the good things that God has allowed to happen in our life. There's a lot of power in praises. And right now we're going to do that. That third song that we just sang is so powerful. Listen to the lyrics of this song. It is so amazing. The cross is your beginning. The line in the sand. That's when you know how good God is in your life. It's the end of all your striving. You don't need to strive anymore. Whatever it is you're battling, because now you live a new life with God. There Jesus was forsaken, so I will never be. A lot of people who are anxious, they feel like God has forgotten about them, that God has forsaken them. But that will never happen in your life. Because God has forsaken Jesus because of our sin at the cross. And for that reason, we will never be forsaken by God. His grace is our salvation, the gift of God, the work of Calvary. And I love this part as well. The cross needs no addition. His mercy is complete. Whatever you've done that caused you to be anxious, God is merciful. God has forgiven all that. His love is not in question, you know. Again, the proof of His love is His death on the cross for you and for me. Sometimes we can get fooled into thinking that God doesn't love us anymore. But you only need to look at the cross to remember that God loves us very much. The Son of God has spoken over us, over our anxiety, over our failures. He has spoken over us. And then finally, I love this part of the song. Strongholds bowing to the Savior. Whatever stronghold you have in your life, resurrection power over every circumstance, over every worry, every anxiety, every restlessness, everything. Stronghold has no power anymore over your life. Resurrection power of Jesus lives inside of us. And His word stands final and forever. He will not be shaken. He alone, He won it all. Why don't we get up from our seat right now? I want us to sing this song. But this time, I don't know if you did it before. I hope you did, but doesn't matter. Right now, as we sing this song, can we sing this with faith? Can we sing this believing, declaring every single sentence? Let's declare it afresh before God, before our enemies, that everything is paid for, it is done, it is finished, and nothing has stronghold over our lives, not even anxiety. Let's sing this.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.